Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Welcoming to the show, Braden Gall from 440 Sports on Twitter, at Braden Gall. And Braden, on Twitter, you've been releasing some conference quarterback rankings. We couldn't help but notice your SEC list. We couldn't help but scroll down to find Joe Milton at number 10. Scroll back up to see names like Carson Beck, projected starter at Georgia, or I don't know if the guy at number 6 has any kind of connection to Tennessee, Ty Simpson.
Who?
At Alabama. Four spots ahead of Joe Milton. KJ Jefferson, number 1, Will Rogers, then Devin Leary, the top 3, by the way. So, Braden, would you like to take it away? Joe Milton at number 10 in your SEC quarterback rankings.
Total accident that tweet came out 20 minutes before our interview, by the way. Just completely on accident there. No, look, it's so funny. Like, I'm the biggest commentary is not about any one player, because there's going to be a ton of movement on that list because of how much unknown there is at the position. Think about this. I cannot remember a year where the SEC had 3 first-round draft picks, a 2-time defending national champion, and that doesn't include Heisman top 5 quarterback Hendon Hooker, all leaving the conference at the same time. I've never seen anything like that. So I think the number one biggest takeaway doing the exercise is that the SEC is in a very different spot at this time this year than it was last year. And some of the names, like some of the names that are the same, are pretty solid. I mean, KJ Jefferson, Will Rogers are really good players. They've been around a long time. Devin Leary's a really good player, but he's a transfer. Jaden Daniels has had some moments of brilliance in his career, but also some questionable moments as well. You've got Carson Beck, Ty Simpson, and Connor Wigman, all 5-star kids who step into very good situations, at least 2 of those guys stepping into elite situations. You got Bobby Petrino running the offense for Wigman. And then you've got Spencer Sanders and Spencer Rattler, both named Spencer, who we've seen a gazillion games from, but never once ever felt super comfortable about thinking that they were great. Joe Milton has tons of upside. Like, Joe Milton could finish 3 on this list, like, just by starting all 12 games and just, you know, again, taking 5 miles an hour off the fastball. So, like, the point is that this list, while I felt very comfortable with the top 6, 7, or 8 last year, which, again, will include 3 first-round picks, Stetson Bennett and Hendon Hooker, all of which are gone, it's just giant question marks. I mean, I think A.J. Swan could be a really nice player for Vanderbilt. I think Robbie Ashford's going to fit into Hugh Freeze's system pretty well. I think Graham Mertz will have the best season of his career because he's no longer playing for Wisconsin's god-awful offense. So I think there's some things that are interesting. And Joe Milton certainly is playing in a great situation. But people are like, okay, why Connor Wigman over Joe Milton? And I'm like, well, like, Connor Wigman was a 5-star prospect who stepped onto one of the worst teams in the SEC last year and beat LSU and almost beat Ole Miss, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions, in a horrible situation. Joe Milton stepped into what is one of the best situations in college football in his 5th season and did pretty well in an offense loaded with NFL receivers. So I just think there's context there between sort of projecting a 5-star young player versus can Joe Milton disprove 5 years of data that we already have. And it's certainly possible that he could. Spencer Rattler, if you take the Tennessee and Vanderbilt games out of his season last year, the dude threw 9 touchdown passes in 11 games. You know how hard that is to do in college football? Like, that's real hard to do. And so I have no idea. I can't even figure out if Spencer Rattler is going to be good or not, because he only does it like twice a year. And he had a pretty good season at Oklahoma back in the day. Joe Milton had 1 great game at Michigan. He played great in the Orange Bowl. That doesn't mean he's going to be great this season. I just think 4, 5, 6 through 12 or 13 is all a giant question mark. And I'll go with the guy starting in Todd Monken's offense with Georgia's personnel right now over almost anything else.
I can't really argue that Joe Milton deserves to be in the top five or anything like that.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamin's podcast wherever you listen.
It's always hard for me anytime there's a basketball ranking that comes out. There's a bunch of guys who have yet to play a down or play a minute in basketball, but they're ranked above guys that have 2 or 3 years. Kind of what was the thinking with a guy like Ty Simpson, who has not played at all, being where he is?
So I think, first of all, in basketball, it's probably far easier to project, right? In basketball, like,
yeah,
if
definitely.
You see Anthony Davis, if you see Anthony Davis in a gym when he's 16, you're like, okay, he's good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you see LeBron in a gym at 17, you're like, oh, I get it. Like, you don't need – basketball is so much easier. I remember seeing Derrick Rose as, like, a freshman and just being like, oh, my God. So I think it's so much easier in basketball. I think in football it's 50-50, and some of it is situational. I think Alabama is going to be much better at wide receiver. I think they're going to be better along the offensive line. I think the running game is going to be about the same. So I think they're going to be better. I think their coordinator could be better. So I think they're just going to be better on offense in general. Also, the five stars for Alabama, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but they've been pretty good lately. Since they started hitting on quarterbacks, it's been pretty good. And from what I understand, talking to people in Tuscaloosa, while Jalen Milroe is very talented, has incredible athletic ability and like kind of a big, strong arm, but not he doesn't necessarily do what I think Saban wants, which is to open up the field entirely, every blade of grass, vertically, horizontally, and down the field in particular. And I do think that's where Ty Simpson steps in and I think wins the job because he gives them more accuracy down the field. Now, all of this comes with the caveat of every five-star quarterback in the history of college football is about a 50-50 proposition. Some of them are Tim Tebow and Vince Young, and some of them are John Brantley, you know? So you just don't – you kind of never really know until the lights come on. And again, same thing with Nico Iamaleava. If he's as good as number one in the world, why wouldn't he push for time and sort of do what Tua did when he was a freshman – and play a lot of snaps as a backup in preparation for the next season. So, and if he's that good, well, does he win the job? And if he does, is that great for Tennessee? I would argue it is. That's not even a knock on Joe Milton at all. That's just, if he's that good and he has to see the field and you can't keep him off, don't do the Jake Fromm thing, right? Like, put the young guy who's out there and is clearly a star, put him out there. And so I think that's where Ty Simpson beats out Milroe. I think, you know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Walker Howard beats out Spencer Sanders at Ole Miss because Lane Kiffin values accuracy. And the reason he went and got two quarterbacks in the portal is that Jackson Dart isn't accurate enough. And Sanders has played, you know, 43 games. This guy's got 11,000 yards of offense, but he's turned the ball over a ton and he's injured. I think there's a chance Walker Howard gives him the accuracy that he wants in his offense. So I just think there's a lot of question marks. There's a lot of upside. There's a lot of unproven candidates, and Ty Simpson at Alabama with that pedigree, at that program, with that coaching staff, with that roster, it's just kind of hard to bet against it at this point. And so I think, again, that's why I think Beck is actually in a better situation, better roster around him, better offense, more established coordinator and system. And he's been in the system for 3 years, biding his time, waiting for this moment. So I think that's why I would have Beck ahead of Simpson. But again, a lot of projecting for both of those guys. Same thing with Connor Wigman, five-star, with Bobby Petrino calling plays at A&M. Lots of really talented freshmen last year. They're going to be sophomores this year at wide receiver. It's just a lot of projection, to your point, about, you know, watching a kid who's not really played a lot of snaps.
Speaking of A&M, by the way, do you expect a bounce back? Talking about Wigman, talking about Petrino coming in, and part of the reason I asked that is A&M comes to Knoxville this upcoming fall.
Well, you know what? You know what's going to happen, guys, is like they're going to be picked like sixth or seventh in the West or something crazy, and they're going to go like 12-1. Like, that's what's going to happen. Like, as soon as we don't expect anything from them, you know, all those five stars on the defensive line will be there for their second and third seasons. Again, they've got some really talented wide receivers last year that were true freshmen that are going to be really good this year. I thought Wigman, again, I thought he was pretty solid in a really tough situation. I mean, he threw the ball 48 times in like his first start against Ole Miss, almost won the game. Eight touchdowns, no interceptions last year, beat Ole Miss. He obviously had some other freshman moments, but now he's got Bobby Petrino calling the plays. And so as long as Jimbo Fisher stays out of the way, I think Texas A&M is significantly improved, but those are famous, very famous last words when it comes to the Aggies. So I think we're going to leave media days, and they're going to be picked like fifth or sixth in the West, maybe even seventh. And that's all Jimbo, that's all they need to go ahead and disprove everybody, because they're kind of like Auburn in that whatever you think they're going to do, they're probably going to do the opposite. And that's just sort of the way it is in College Station.
Are you ready, Braden, for when Joe Milton accepts his SEC Player of the Year trophy and he pulls a Travis Kelce and he pulls a Travis Kelce and says, "Braden Gall, know your role and shut your mouth."
Dude, I would love nothing more, because I think he's like Jalen Hurts. I don't know how anybody could make Philadelphia like a likable team. But Jalen Hurts somehow has done it for me, because I just appreciate I appreciate who he is and what he's been through. I think what he's done and how he's handled himself is just extraordinary. And Joe Milton, while it's not at the same level of like being benched in the national championship game or winning SEC Player of the Year and then getting benched or, you know, transferring, like he's done, it's sort of like a miniature version of Jalen Hurts to some degree. And again, without a lot of the production, but like he kind of has been not treated the same way, but has gone through some similar experiences. To watch Hendon Hooker do what he's done the last 2 years, and to just be totally a great teammate about it, I think is great. It makes him super easy to root for. So I think he's an extraordinary young guy. I just hope the talent all comes together. And oh, by the way, you're asking him to do it without like the best two offensive linemen, two All-American, you know, style wide receivers, in a division that's getting better around you, and coaching staffs that now have 2 years of film on you. I just think it's going to – I think Tennessee will be two or three games worse this year. Is that because of Joe Milton, or is that because of everything? And I think it's because of everything. If he is good and takes a huge step and is all of a sudden this player we haven't seen before, that's when Tennessee could overcome some of its deficiencies, because that's what Hendon Hooker did, not even this year but the year before, frankly. Like, just complete decimation of a roster, and the reason they got to 7 wins was because of Hendon Hooker. Like, that's kind of it there. And so if they don't have a big step back and they're a 9-win team this year or a 10-win team this year, it will be because Joe Milton realized his potential, and I think that's absolutely possible, and he could absolutely be the number 2 or 3 best quarterback in the conference, and that's it's certainly within the realm of possibility. And if that happens, I'll stand on the podium. You can pour mayonnaise on me, and he can celebrate his trophy. I'd love nothing more than to see that.
In the meantime, you can yell at Braden on Twitter, at Braden Gall. That's what the platform is for, of course. And you can listen to him more at 440 Sports on your podcast platform of choice. What's going on at 440 Sports?
Yeah, all of that nuance and rooting for Joe Milton, I'm sure, will come through on Twitter very clearly. Fringe Element, we had Travis Ryer on today to talk Alabama, of course, what the heck's going on with them, with the coordinators. I got some nuggets that reported on there on the pod about what's going on with the coordinators, so if you want some juicy nugs, make sure you stay to the end there. But Fringe Element podcast, everywhere you get your podcasts, all SEC football, all 14 teams, every single week, myself, Aaron Dugan, always got some good guests on there, so make sure you check it out. We do appreciate it. Rate, review, subscribe, and follow us on the Twitters. At Braden Gall, you can yell at me there about how all my takes are terrible. I'm totally
also
fine with that.
We do have advice for you, though, out the door. David sent us on the text box listening down in Alabama suggesting Braden needs to lay off the crack. So that is David. That is David's suggestion there for you, Braden.
Look, my version of that is like double chocolate chip cookies, and I might have had like 3 of them last night. So maybe that's what it is. I'm in like a sugar hangover, and that's what's causing my mental block right now. I don't know. Maybe I need to broaden my horizons with something else. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, it's the Harry Styles remix, chocolate chip cookie high. There you go.
Bad, okay.
At Braden Gall, Braden, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, boy.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.